Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland here. It's a bit late to wish you a Happy New Year, and January's such a funny old month, isn't it? For some, it's all about working off the excesses of the festive period, dry January, sessions at the gym, pounding the streets in the dark with head torches clamped to foreheads. No, I wasn't one of them. For Catholics, the month starts with the World Day of Peace, and on the first Sunday of the year, the Bishop President of the Justice and Peace Commission's letter was read in churches across Scotland. More of that later. For youngsters at school preparing to sit National 5 or higher exams, January is a very stressful month of prelims when their knowledge is tested and they get a handle on what they should work harder at in the weeks ahead. Those studying English have an additional task, a portfolio of essays that they've to get together, and one of those is called a reflective essay, and these have got to be completed and sent off very soon ahead of the exams. I was chatting with a young friend who's preparing one of these essays, and he was going to visit Anne Frank's house in the Netherlands and planned to write his reflective essay about the experience of seeing where that young Jewish girl hid from the Nazis until her family was betrayed and she was taken into a concentration camp where she died of typhus. He was talking about how moving this experience was going to be, but he was a bit stumped when I asked him about the reflective element of his essay, because it's a big ask of a teenager to put the Holocaust into context and write about what reactions you have to it 70-odd years after the event. Our chat revealed that his knowledge of fascism, the Nazi regime and the horror of the Holocaust was all a bit sketchy. They have, as they say, done the First World War in history because of last year's centenary of its armistice. The Second World War, however, is little more than its dates. I asked him what he made of the people shouting Nazi and fascist at members of Parliament over the past weeks, and the headlines that point to a rise in right-wing fascist politics around the world. Bemused, and that word stumped again, are perhaps the best words to describe his reactions. They're just words to his generation. Why would they be anything more? And perhaps they're nothing more than that to the majority of those chanting them threateningly at MPs. The misuse of vocabulary has become a very, very dangerous issue. However, with apologies for the horrific content he would see, I sent him a few appropriate internet links, and of course, this sensitive, thoughtful young man was appalled at our history and began to consider how a repeat of the politics of the 20th century might impact on his future if his generation don't use their first votes in the next election to make their views clear. January 27th marks Holocaust Memorial Day. And as my young friend now realises, this isn't just about the unforgivable and unforgettable extermination of 6 million Jews in the 20th century, but about modern genocides as well. The Holocaust Memorial Day Trust encourages remembrance in a world that has suffered too much horrendous slaughter of ethnic groups within their home countries. A statement from the Trust says, "The Holocaust threatened the fabric of civilization, and genocide must still be resisted every day. Our world often feels fragile and vulnerable, and we cannot be complacent. Even in the UK, prejudice and the language of hatred must be challenged by us all." Goodness me, it certainly must. The theme of Holocaust Memorial Day 2019 is Torn from Home. It's particularly pertinent in this month when we have seen refugees denied entry to Europe and to the UK yet again. When the word migrant has been used rather than refugee in a cynical attempt to justify denial of sanctuary. The Trust says that the theme Torn from Home encourages us to reflect on how the enforced loss of a safe place to call home is part of the trauma faced by anyone experiencing persecution and genocide. Because after all, home usually means a place of safety, comfort, security. So we're asked to reflect on what happens when individuals, families and communities are driven out of or are wrenched from their homes because of persecution or the threat of genocide. We're also asked to reflect on the continuing difficulties survivors face as they try to find and build new homes when the genocide is over. Contrary to what some believe, most survivors want to go home if it's safe to do so. But we've all seen those who are terrified to go back where they face persecution, torture, or death. They are the ones who risk everything to reach a place of safety. And what happens if and when they reach such safety? Justice and Peace Scotland has been made aware of asylum seekers who become destitute because of the regulations that don't allow them to work. That can lead to them being trafficked. And yes, human trafficking is happening right here in Scotland on an alarming scale. And we also have the UK government firing up a hostile environment for people seeking safety. We have media outlets deliberately encouraging the language of hatred. And we have disgruntled people name-calling politicians and discriminating against folk for their race, their colour, or their creed. We certainly do need the reminders suggested by the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust. When I was a teenager, not yesterday, and full of ideals like my young friend is today, I thought I was growing up in a world where the horrific events of World War II's death camps had taught us a lesson, and that such Holocausts would be history. Instead, we have seen genocide carried out in every continent. The Balkans, Rwanda, Myanmar, Syria, just a few names to add to humanity's shame. Bishop William Nolan is Bishop President of Justice and Peace Scotland. His January letter that I mentioned earlier was inspirational, and many have contacted the Justice and Peace Office to say so. He wrote of good governance, saying, "Major issues confronting the world today, such as climate change, war and conflict, global poverty, refugees and migrants, cannot be solved by individuals, no matter how committed. But that is not to say that governments can be left to get on with it. Those working for justice and peace, those concerned about saving the planet, those engaged in caring for those in need can be frustrated by the policies that governments put into practice." He added, "Pressure needs to be put on governments to persuade them to act in the common good, with concern for the whole of humanity, to act for peace, to welcome the stranger, to care for the environment, to protect the unborn and the elderly." Bishop Nolan reminded us that our vote counts, but that we can also have to influence those who we are asked to vote for, who chooses them. We can't just sit back and let others get on with it. He wrote, "Those Catholics, therefore, who get involved in party politics are putting their faith into action." Our Bishop President isn't out on a limb, Pope Francis has repeatedly said that political engagement is one of the highest expressions of charity. And while he describes engagement in politics as a sort of daily martyrdom, His Holiness wants us to engage in politics for the common good. So many people have been saying recently that the politicians are out of touch and don't know what real life is. Well, as Bishop Nolan advised, we have to tell them. He said, "We must each ask ourselves, how can I influence public opinion if I never express an opinion in public? How can I influence government and politicians if I never let them know what I think?" And he added that we have to be a voice urging governments and politicians and those in power to act always for the common good of all humanity. My wee voice crying in the wilderness seeks to remind politicians that their vocabulary, their attitudes, and their behaviour are the most public of anyone's in the country. So if they are boorish and cruel, why would they raise their hands in horror when some members of the general public respond with boorishness and cruelty? This febrile atmosphere is deeply, deeply worrying. Seems to me to be taking a step by step back into the dangerous quicksands of the 1930s politics. In their fanatical desire for so-called pure race, the Nazis targeted Jews, gypsies, people of colour, and people of whose sexual orientation they disapproved. This Holocaust Memorial Day reminds us where that led. And we have to take a tumble to ourselves and be a voice for those in 2019 who are persecuted because of their race, because of their religion, or because of the fact that they have been torn from their homes and need our help. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me." And of course, everyone says, "But when did we do any of that?" And so he goes on to explain that whatever we do for the least of his brothers, we do for him. And remember, we're all Christ's brothers and sisters, whatever our colour, our faith, or our nationality. Of course, none of us wants to walk blindly into a world where braying crowds seek the elimination of people who don't fit a particular image. But keeping silence allows the malevolent few to have their way. So I am praying for the courage to follow Bishop Nolan's advice to be a voice for the voiceless in the year ahead. I thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me in these prayers offered by the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust. Lord, teach us to accept our differences without fear and remove all prejudice and hatred from our hearts. Lord, may every human community flourish and every home be secure according to your loving purpose. Lord, help us to imagine the world as you would have it be and to strive for it, no matter how impossible that might appear. We ask all of these prayers to be answered in Jesus' name. Amen.